It's certainly good to see everyone here this evening. Hope you had a good day so far. It's certainly been a wonderful day of worship. I am very glad that we're able to be here together tonight to worship God again. I want to thank Brother Joe for leading us in our singing. Thank Brother Doug for his prayer. And thankful to all of you who are here to worship the Lord tonight. You know, if we gather together in this building tonight, I think it is important that we appreciate a remarkable blessing that God has given us in our lives. As human beings being made in the image of God, as God's creation, I think it's important that we point out how God has blessed us all with the awesome ability of communication. That's right, tonight in this place, we have the ability to talk with one another. We have the ability to share our thoughts and our feelings verbally. We have the privilege to being able to communicate with one another. That's a privilege given to us by God. Now let me ask you, do you enjoy that privilege? Do you enjoy the privilege of communication? I know I do. In fact, I believe that in life we possess few gifts with a greater capacity to impact our lives and the lives of other people than our ability to communicate. Our ability to communicate is one of the key ways in which we're able to impact and touch people's lives. I'm reminded of what Solomon says in Proverbs chapter 12 and verse number 18. Here Solomon says, there is one who speaks rashly like the thrust of a sword, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. In Proverbs chapter 18 and verse number 21, he says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. What is Solomon saying in these verses? Well, simply put, the wise man is teaching us that our words have power. My words and your words, they have power. They have the ability to affect the people towards whom they are directed. You see, either our words can hurt and tear people to shreds, either our words can really bring people down and make them feel truly awful, or our words can heal and encourage and build up and comfort other people. Our words have power. Our words have the ability to impact people's lives. In fact, not only can our words impact the lives of other people, but secondly, I want to suggest to you that our words can also impact us. Our words can impact our relationship with God. Our words can impact how people perceive us as the people of God. Our words can even impact the judgment we're going to receive from Jesus when we stand before Him on the last day. That's what the Lord says to us in Matthew chapter 12. In Matthew chapter 12, verses 34 through 37, Jesus says, For the mouth speaks out of that which fills the heart. The good man brings out of his good treasure what is good, and the evil man brings out of his evil treasure what is evil. In other words, what goes in, what we feed into our hearts, is eventually going to be expressed through our words. It's eventually going to come out of our mouths. He goes on to say, but I tell you that every careless word that people speak, they should give an accounting for it in the day of judgment. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. Notice how Jesus says that our words, they carry huge consequences. Jesus says we're going to give an account for our words. He says the words that we speak, they're going to play a huge factor in where we're going to be after this life. Jesus says our words will play a huge role in where we're going to be in eternity. And since that is the case, since our words are so powerful, since our words impact us and the lives of other people, it would have only made sense that God would tell us exactly how to communicate with each other in His Word. And He indeed does do that. We go into your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 4. I'm inviting you, please, to Ephesians chapter 4. In Ephesians chapter 4, we want to start reading with verse number 22. Here in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse number 22, the Apostle Paul is going to talk about some of the specific choices that we need to make when we give our lives to God. Paul says when we come to God, when we become Christians, we've got to put off that old sinful man, and we got to become new people in Jesus Christ. And notice what he says about the new person we are to become in Christ. Notice in verse number 22 of Ephesians 4, he says that in reference to your former manner of life, there he's talking about that life we used to live when we were outside of Christ. that life we used to live when we were not Christians, when we were lost in our sins. He says that in reference to that manner of life, you lay aside the old self, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lust of the deceit, and that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and you put on the new self, which is in the likeness of God, has been created in righteousness and holiness of the truth. Paul says you got to put off the old sinful person, put on the new spiritual person in Christ. Now he's going to go on and talk about what that new spiritual person is to look like. In verse number 25, he says that new spiritual person doesn't lie. Verse number 26, they don't allow their anger to cause them to sin. Verse number 28, they don't steal, but they work for the things that they have. And then look at verse 29. Verse 29, let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification according to the need of the moment, so that it will give grace to those who hear. I want you to notice how Paul says that when we put off that old sinful man, then that old sinful way of talking should have gone away with him. Paul says that when we become Christians, we can't talk like we did when we were at one time in the world. The way we communicate, it has to be different. And now that we are Christians, we got to be careful with our words. We got to avoid what he calls unwholesome speech. We got to talk in a way that is consistent with our claim to be followers of Jesus. I just want you to see that God has blessed us with a great privilege and ability to be able to communicate. It is a blessing to be enabled to open our mouths and talk with each other, but notice with that blessing comes a great responsibility. God has certain expectations for us when it comes to the way that we talk. This is an issue that is very important to our God. In fact, this issue is so important to God that throughout the Bible, he tells us the kind of words that we have to avoid, in our lives. Throughout the Bible, ladies and gentlemen, God tells us as his people exactly the kind of words that we got to completely strip ourselves of if we're going to truly be his people and be all that he has called us to be. And I want to tell you, as we begin our lesson tonight, that many of these words that I'm going to share with you tonight, many of these concepts are things that we all agree on. For example, when it comes to certain words that we need to avoid as Christians, I think we can all agree tonight that as Christians, if we're going to bring glory to God, then certainly we must always refrain from abusing the name of God. If we're truly going to be the kind of people that God wants us to be, then certainly we got to always avoid using God's name in vain. We got to always avoid abusing the name of God. I mean, what Christian in the room tonight would not agree with this point? Certainly, if we are Christians, if we are followers of the Lamb of God, if we are followers of Jesus, then certainly we understand that we must always refrain from abusing God's name. Then certainly we understand that we got to hold God's name in honor and high esteem. We got to respect the name of God. This is something that's promoted all throughout the Bible. Well, for example, when it comes to the Old Testament in Exodus chapter 20, verse 7, there we see that the third of the Ten Commandments prohibited the vain use of God's name. God told the Israelites that he would leave none of them unpunished if they took his name in vain. And then in the New Testament, in Matthew 6 and verse number 9, Jesus tells us. He tells us that the name of God is to be hallowed. There Jesus is saying that the name of God is sacred. It is revered. It's exalted. It's a name that's above all names. It's a name that never must be used in vain. See, that's what God has said about this issue. God has said that his name must never be abused. His name must never be taken in vain. But even though God has declared his will emphatically when it comes to this, you and I both know that all the time in our culture today, we find people doing the total opposite, don't we? All the time in our culture today, we hear people abusing the name of God. We hear people taking the Lord's name in vain. For example, how often do we hear people in our culture say things like OMG? They'll say, oh my, and then they'll put God's name at the end of that. People say OMG.
They say, oh God, they'll take the name of Jesus and they'll use it in a way that's not sacred, that's not in reverence, that's not holy. You see, all the time we hear people casually abusing the name of God, and you know, I guess that should not surprise us. I guess it shouldn't surprise us as our culture gets further and further away from the will of God, as our culture gets further and further away from the Bible, in time, more people are going to be more inclined to throw God's name around like it means nothing. I guess we should expect that from people in the world, from people who don't follow the Bible, who don't follow Jesus, who don't follow God. I guess we should expect people like that to do things like this, but brothers and sisters, let it never be said that we as Christians would ever do that. Let it never be said that we as Christians would ever become desensitized to this problem. Let it never be said that we would ever sound like the people in the world, that we would ever throw around the sacred name of God like it was nothing. Let it never be said that we would ever be on our Facebook pages or on our Instagram or Twitter pages and we're using God's name in vain. We're using God's name in an explicit way to embellish our speech. Let it never be said that we were right or say the words OMG or oh God, or we'll use the mighty name of Jesus in a disrespectful and a careless way. Let it never be said, ladies and gentlemen, that we as Christians would ever do such a thing. Let's always remember that God's name is great. We serve a great God. And His name is great. His name is mighty. It's awesome. And when it is casually misused, that should bother us. That should disturb us. That should even anger us. I mean, if we'll want to come to blows and want to fight somebody because they disrespect our mama or our daddy, how much more should we be disturbed and bothered when people disrespect the name of our God? When people disrespect the name of the one who loves us, who blesses us every day, who when we were lost in our sins, He gave us His Son to die on the cross for our sins. And so I hope we're on the same page right now. I hope we can all agree. I hope we do agree that when it comes to certain words we need to avoid as Christians, we must always avoid abusing the name of God. I think that we all agree on that, right? But in addition to that, in addition to always avoiding abusing the name of God, secondly, I want to suggest to you that as Christians, we also have to avoid anything, any kind of words that our society, that even our society would deem as filthy and vulgar. Brothers and sisters, I don't care where you live on this planet. I don't care where you live. Every culture has a list of words that everybody considers to be vulgar. In fact, even the people who use this kind of language, even the kind of people who use bad language, they say curse words, they know exactly what they're doing. They know they're saying ugly words. They know they're saying filthy speech. And I'm pretty certain about that because the people who use these words, most of them would never allow their little children to say those words. Or they would never use those words on a job interview. Or they would never use those words at church. Or even when they're casually talking with a preacher. Now, I can't begin to tell you how many times I have been talking with people before, sometimes even Christians, and as I'm casually talking with them, they'll slip up and they'll say a curse word. And when they do that, they'll cover their mouths and they'll say, oh, I know I shouldn't have said that. I know you're a preacher. I know I shouldn't have said that around you. I can't begin to tell you how many times that has happened to me before. And when that happens, I firmly believe those people are worried about the wrong thing. They're worried about a preacher when they need to be worried about God. You see, as a preacher, I'm nothing. I'm just flesh and bones. I'm just a man. I'm just a servant of God. I don't have any ability to put anybody in heaven or in hell. As a preacher, I am nothing but a servant of God. And instead of worrying about a man, what a man thinks, what these people really need to worry about is what God thinks. They really need to worry about what Jesus thinks, because Jesus says, we're going to give an account of every careless word we say to Him on the judgment day, not to me or any other preacher. And so words that even our society, even our corrupt society deem as filthy, I hope as Christians we never use those words. Let it never be we'll use those words. Let it never be that we are careful not to say filthy curse words when we come here to this place. But as soon as we say the final prayer, as soon as we shake a few hands in the lobby, we're in our car, and as we go home, we're cursing up a storm. Let it never be that we're hypocrites, that we are full of hypocrisy. That we speak one way when we come to this place, but a totally different way when we're at home, or a totally, totally different way when we're interacting with people in the world. Let it never be that that would describe us. Let it never be that we would forget that not only can God see everything that we do, but he can also hear every word that we say. He can hear every word we say in this building. He can hear every word we say in our car, on our jobs, in our homes, at our schools, young people, at the grocery store, on the basketball court, on the football field. There's no place we can go where God cannot hear exactly what we are saying. God hears, he hears every word that we say. He takes account of those words. God hears everything that we say, and God demands that we understand that he has a strict standard when it comes to our speech. I'm going back to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29. Notice again what Paul says. Pay close attention. Paul says, let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification, according to the need of the moment, so that it will give grace to those who hear. I want you to pay close attention to the word unwholesome that Paul uses there. Do you see it? I spent some time looking up that word unwholesome last week. That word unwholesome that Paul uses there is literally the idea of bad language. Here Paul's talking about language that society even deems to be crude and foul, evil, and worthless. Paul says we've got to stay away from those kind of words. And you put that what James says in James chapter 3, verses 8 through 10. What does James say? James says, he says, no one can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil full of deadly poison. With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth, come both blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not be, James says. Notice James says the same thing Paul says. James says that when it comes to us living a Christian life, living a true life for Jesus, we got to be mindful of the way we talk. We got to control our speech. We got to stay away from curse words, even words that our culture deems as filthy and vulgar and unwholesome. They're not fit for a Christian's communication. You see, as Christians, the words we speak, they're part of who we are. They're part of what we believe about God. My friends, if we use filthy curse words in our everyday language, we got to understand that our influence as Christians is greatly diminished. Look at what Paul says in Colossians chapter 4. In Colossians chapter 4, verses 5 and 6, Paul says to Christians, conduct yourselves with wisdom towards outsiders, making the most of your opportunity. He says, let your speech always be with grace, as though seasoned with salt, so that you will know how you ought to respond to each person. Paul says the way you talk has a lot to do with your influence with people in the world. And then the Lord Jesus says it this way. He says, let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Jesus says we have influence. We have influence as Christians. We have influence with the people we interact with every single day, whether we realize that or not, in using words that even our culture judges to be filthy and vulgar and unwholesome. Using those kind of words doesn't help us do what Jesus says here. Using those kind of words doesn't help us shine our light. They don't help us be a positive example. They don't help us bring souls to God. They don't help us bring glory to the Almighty and all holy God. Let me tell you something, brothers and sisters. People don't listen to somebody rattle off a whole bunch of curse words and conclude that that person loves the Lord. People don't listen to somebody rattle off a whole bunch of filthy and vulgar speech and conclude that person loves God and conclude that person loves Jesus. People don't do that. Matter of fact, if we use filthy language in our daily lives, And then later on, we try to invite somebody to church, or we try to invite somebody to sit down and have a Bible study with us. You know what those people are going to do? They're going to think we're nuts. They're going to be shocked. They're going to call us hypocrites, and they're going to refuse to listen to anything we have to say when it comes to Jesus and the Bible. And so our words go a long way in helping our influence when it comes to the people we're trying to bring to Jesus. And I hope, before I even preach this point, that's something that we already agree on. I hope we already can agree that when it comes to how we talk as Christians, we got to stay away from abusing the name of God. We got to stay away from any kind of words that even our culture deems to be filthy and vulgar. But here's a third thing I want you to think about now. Third thing that maybe so often we don't put on this list. And that is, in addition to these things, how about we also stay away from any kind of words that may be deemed as quote-unquote borderline language. Any kind of words that may be deemed as borderline language. And somebody says, okay, Sean, what in the world is borderline language? Well, borderline language is a class of words that may not technically be judged by our culture as filthy and vulgar, but some would still consider them to be ugly and rude. And I think that as Christians, we also got to keep those kind of words out of our minds. I'm going back to what Paul says again. I've got to go back to this verse, Ephesians 4 and verse number 29. Paul says, let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for edification, according to the need of the moment, so that it will give grace to those who hear. I keep going back to this verse because this verse is a critical verse when it comes to helping us when it comes to this issue. You see, not only does this verse help us eliminate any kind of words that our culture deems as inappropriate, but it also helps us make good decisions when our words and our humor fall somewhere in the middle. When our words and humor are not obviously inappropriate, but not necessarily innocent either. And I gotta tell you, I think as Christians, our words, we kind of fall into this trap a whole lot more than saying words that our culture deems as filthy and inappropriate. I think that this may be the trap as Christians that we fall into more than any of the others. You see, we're going to be true followers of Jesus Christ, and we got to understand that not only must we stay away from curse words, not only must we stay away from words that even our society understands are wrong, but we also got to stay away from any kind of speech that causes other people to question who we are and what we claim to believe about God. Practically speaking, when we are out there in the world, when we're out there on our jobs and our community, at family get-togethers, when we're at our schools, when we're out there in the world, and we're having some trouble deciding as to whether or not what we're about to say is appropriate, I think we've got to stop and ask ourselves some very important questions. My friends, if you're ever out there in the world and you're trying to figure out if what you're about to say is appropriate, ask yourself questions like this. Ask yourself questions like, is what I'm about to say, is that going to help me promote what Paul says in this verse? Is what I'm about to say going to edify people? Is it going to build up people? Is it going to bring grace to those who are hearing me right now? Is what I'm about to say going to help or hinder my influence as a follower of Jesus? Is what I'm about to say going to back up my claim to be a follower of Jesus? Is what I'm about to say going to help bring glory and praise to the Almighty God? Is what I'm about to say going to enhance my influence and help me in my desire to win souls for God? It's what I'm about to say going to help me shine my light in this dark and sinful world where it calls the people who hear me right now, where it calls them to question my commitment and my claim to be a lover of God and a lover of the gospel. You see, these are the kind of questions that we've got to ask ourselves when we're out there on the battlefield. These are the kind of questions we've got to ask ourselves when it comes to borderline language. You see, people who truly desire to follow God and they really want to go to heaven, they're very careful with their words. They choose their words carefully. they eliminate anything from their mouth that may detract from their work for Jesus with their language. They don't try to ride the fence. They don't try to see how far they can get to the imaginary line they've drawn in the sand. People who love God and follow Jesus, they don't do those kind of things. Instead, they're careful with their language. They say words that edify and bring glory to God. If they feel like they're going to say something that can be judged as inappropriate in any way at all, they don't say it. If they feel like their speech is going to detract from them, from shining their light and bringing glory to God, they don't say it. If they feel like something they're about to say is going to cause people to question their claim to be a Christian, they just don't say it. People who follow God, they don't use any kind of language. They bring shame to themselves and can potentially bring shame to God. And so I want to suggest to you that we need to stay away from any kind of words that can be considered as borderline language. And then number four, I want to suggest to you that we also need to stay away from any kind of words that can be designed to hurt our spouse. Any kind of words that can be designed to hurt our spouse. You know, one of the things I love about Jackson Heights is here in this church, we got a lot of people who've been married for a very long time. In fact, I just want to do something real quick. Can you raise your hand if you've been married for at least 10 years? If you've been married for at least 10 years, look at that. My goodness. There's a lot of people in the room been married at least 10 years. In fact, I know for a fact some of you have been married for 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, 50 years. And I'm pretty sure there are a couple of couples here who've been married even longer than that. And may God bless all the married couples here tonight. That is such a blessing to have a spouse. And I got to tell you, one of the great things about being married, especially if you've been married for several decades, is most of the time, husbands and wives, they get to know each other pretty well, don't they? They get to know each other's likes and each other's dislikes. And you know what? That's exactly what God wants. God wants us to know our spouse. God wants us to have an understanding of our spouse. And He wants us to use that knowledge we have of our spouse to love them and care for them properly. We need to know the person that we're married to. Isn't that what Peter says? 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7. What did Peter say? He says, "You husbands, in the same way, live with your wives in an understanding way. As with somebody weaker, since she is a woman, and show her honor." No, it is show her honor. "As a fellow heir of the grace of life, so that your prayers would not be hindered." Notice Peter says that as a husband, I need to know my wife, Tanisha. I need to know her. I need to have a proper understanding of her. I need to strive to understand her more and more every single day. Why? So I can love her and care for her properly. We need to know our spouse. That's what God wants. However, I think it's important that I point out to you right now that sometimes couples would try to use this knowledge and understanding they have with their spouse to hurt their spouse, to bring harm upon their spouse. And I really want you to think about this right now. Think about this, ladies and gentlemen. That person you're sitting by tonight, you're married. That person you're sitting by tonight, nobody knows that person better than you do. That's your spouse. That's the person you're one with. Nobody knows that person better than you do. You see that person every day. You know exactly what irritates them. You know exactly what sets them off. Nobody on the face of this planet knows your spouse better than you do. And I got to tell you, unfortunately, for a lot of people, they're trying to use that knowledge they have of their spouse. They're trying to use that to their advantage. Since they know exactly the kind of words that will hurt their spouse, for a lot of people, whenever they start getting some arguments, whenever they want to set them off, they'll use those words. They'll use those words because they know those words will bring pain to their spouse. Whenever they argue, they'll pummel each other. They'll pummel each other with verbal assaults and insults and sarcasm until the marriage is left in shambles. In fact, even worse than all of that, for some couples, they'll resort to saying curse words at each other, to using foul language of one another to raise the stakes. You see, that's the kind of stuff. It's the kind of stuff that goes on in some marriages. And I got to tell you, that's very disturbing to me. I think it's very disturbing how frequently it comes to light that some of the most destructive kind of language is being used is behind the doors of Christian homes. It's behind the doors of people who claim to love Jesus, who claim to follow the Bible, who claim to want to go to heaven. I think that's very disturbing. And certainly I hope with all my heart, that these things I'm saying right now, I hope it applies to nobody in this room. I hope it applies to no one here, but if it does, my friends, we got to stop. We got to stop it right here. We got to stop it right now. We got to understand that it is a sin to use our words to wound and hurt our spouse. In fact, remember, Peter says that if we do that kind of stuff, it can hurt our prayer lives. And then what the verse said, notice again, husbands, deal with your wife. And he says, live with your wife in an understanding way as someone weaker. Since she is a woman, show her honor. If I curse out my spouse, is that showing her honor? If I'm insulting her and making her feel bad, is that showing her honor? He says, I have to show her honor as a fellow heir of the grace of life. Otherwise, my prayers can be hindered. This is a serious issue, isn't it? God says we got to make sure that we're not using our words to tear down and hurt our spouse. Instead of using our words to bring pain upon our spouse, we got to use our words to build them up, to give them confidence about themselves, to love them and care for them, and make them feel good about themselves, because this is the person we're one with. This is our companion in life. We have a family with this person. And so let's always remember that God wants us to stay away from any kind of words, that can wound our spouse. And then finally, we'll go home tonight. A final thing I think we need to understand when it comes to our words is we need to stay away from any kind of words that can be considered to be gossip. You know, for a lot of people, gossip may not be the first thing that comes to your mind when you think about words we need to stay away from. But indeed, this does belong on the list. I'm reminded of what Solomon says in Proverbs 20 and verse 19. Here Solomon says, he who goes about as a slanderer reveals secrets, therefore do not associate with a gossip. Here Solomon is saying, he's warning us about people who spread dirt and cause trouble when they need to be avoided. But the Bible tells us not to gossip, and it tells us to stay away from gossips. In fact, I believe that if we follow four simple steps, we can avoid falling into this terrible trap. First, if we have a problem with somebody, you know what we need to do? We need to go to that person directly, don't we? We need to go to that person and work it out face to face. I want you to go to your Bibles to Matthew chapter 18. Look at Matthew 18. I believe Matthew 18 verse 15 is probably the most neglected of all of God's commandments among Christians. Now, God has given us a lot of commandments as Christians, and I believe the verse we're about to read right now is probably the most neglected of all of God's commandments. It may be the most neglected verse of the New Testament, but if people who follow this verse, it will save us a lot of problems and a lot of strife. Look at Matthew 18, verse 15. It says in Matthew 18, verse 15, if your brother sins, some of your translations say, if your brother sins against you, go and show him his fault in private. If he listens to you, you've won your brother. Notice Jesus says, and when I have a problem with somebody, when I feel like somebody has sinned against me and done me harm, I don't need to go and gossip about that person to someone else, try to bring that person down to somebody else. Jesus says, I need to go to that person. I need to have enough guts and enough love to go to that person and talk about my concern face to face. That's what Jesus says. And don't misunderstand, certainly I understand that sometimes we need some guidance when it comes to dealing with difficult situations. No doubt that can be true, but even in those situations, I think we got to be careful. If we're going to get some guidance on what to do, we got to make sure it is guidance that we're really seeking and we're not just trying to get somebody to back us up in a conflict. We got to make sure we're truly seeking guidance. We got to make sure we're truly trying to get some spiritual, godly help. And then once we get that help, we still need to go back and do what Jesus says. We still need to go to that person, work out that problem face to face. Let's never try to squirm our way out of doing what the Lord says in this verse, okay? Jesus says, if you got a problem with each other, we feel like we sinned against each other, got to go work it out face to face. That's what the Lord says. And in addition to that, let me suggest this. I think something else that can help us is to remember the old adage that our mamas taught us growing up. What did our mamas tell us growing up? She said, if you can't say something nice, don't what? Don't say anything. Mama was right about that, wasn't she? You can't say something nice, don't say anything. And instead of saying mean and hurtful things about others, we need to be looking for the good in others. And let's talk about that. Instead of saying negative and ugly things about each other, let's speak positive things. Let's speak things that reflect the love we should have for each other. Why is it we're so quick to say negative things about each other and not positive things? We've got to be careful of that. You can't say something nice, don't say it. And then finally, gotta avoid participating in gossip. Now, I heard Brother John Truex say something one time. It's always stuck with me. Maybe you've heard it too. Say, if somebody will gossip to you, they'll what? They'll gossip about you. And isn't that true? See, when somebody comes up to us trying to gossip, trying to spread rumors, trying to demean somebody's reputation, we need to politely say to them, hey, I'm not comfortable going there with you. And then we need to move on to something else. We need to grab that person, take that person to the person they're talking about and say, hey, you need to work this out with them. This ain't got nothing to do with me. That's what we need to do. We need to stop the gossip before it gets started. If there's nobody there to listen to the gossiper, guess what? Their gossip is not going to go anywhere. And that what Solomon says, Proverbs 26 and verse 20, for lack of wood, the fire goes out, and where there is no whisper, contention quiets down. A lot more we can say about this issue, but here's the bottom line. Here's the bottom line, okay? Somebody says, Sean, why are you preaching about this? But here's the bottom line. I want us to leave here understanding that if we are Christians, if we are followers of Jesus, that is such a huge responsibility. There's a lot that goes to being a Christian. When we become Christians, we don't live for ourselves anymore. We live for God. We live for Jesus. We live for the gospel. We live to help people go to heaven. When we become Christians, we don't just give Jesus a say in our lives, but we give Jesus the ultimate say in our lives. His words and his influence, it permeates everything that we do right down to the very words that we say. And that means that if we can't say something that we know can bring glory to God and help our influence as Christians, then we don't need to say it. Let's be careful with our words, brothers and sisters. It means a lot in our calls to please God. The Bible makes it very clear that our words are very powerful. But I want you to know this as we close. There are somebody else's words who are even more powerful, and that is God's words. Our words are powerful, but God's words are even more powerful, and God's words are revealed to us in the gospel. In Romans 1, verse 16, Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it's the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. Paul says that God's words in the gospel, it is the power of God for our salvation. In John chapter 12, verse number 48, Jesus says, He who rejects me and has not received my sayings has one who judges him the words that I spoke. We'll judge him on the last day. According to Jesus, his words in the gospel are powerful. What he says in the gospel will determine whether or not we go to heaven or hell. We're going to be judged on the judgment day by the words that he has spoken. The question is, tonight, where do you stand? Do you need to respond to the mighty words of Jesus? Do you need to respond to what Jesus says in John 8 and verse 24 when he says, unless you believe that I am he, you will die in your sins? Do you need to respond to what he said in Luke 13 and verse 3 when he said, unless you repent, you all likewise perish? Do you need to respond to what he said in Mark 16 and verse 16 when he said, he who believes and is baptized will be saved? Jesus' words are the most powerful words on the face of this planet. And there's somebody who needs to respond to his words and become a Christian tonight. You have an opportunity to do that right here, right now. Come to the front as we stand, as we sing.